Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we are going to be in Ephesians chapter 3, and the verse we want is verse 17, but we're going to pick it up by reading in verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Now verse 17. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love," and then verse 18 goes on to say, "may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height," and the verse goes on. In verse 17, Paul is praying about being rooted and grounded. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at this verse today about being rooted and grounded from the standpoint of Christians who don't pan out, from the standpoint of Christians who don't grow, from the standpoint of Christians who don't take root downward and then bear fruit upward. Back there in Isaiah chapter 37, during the reign of Hezekiah, okay, when Hezekiah was praying about the impending attack or the threatened attack by Sennacherib, Isaiah chapter 37, verse 31 says this, "The remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they shall escape out of Mount Zion, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this." And that's a prophecy concerning the nation of Israel and the fact that there's going to be a day, hadn't happened yet, where they'll root downward and bear fruit upward. And many sermons, I'm sure, have been preached on that text, and they've been applied to Christians who need to take a root downward and then bear fruit upward. And let me just say, if you are one of the Christians whose life has vacillated, whose life has not really grown, who you still struggle with the same stuff you've been struggling with ever since you got saved, and I don't necessarily mean with sin, I just mean you're just not growing. You're like a tree that was planted and that should be, you know, have a nice arbor now and a good trunk and deep roots, and you don't. You're still like a sapling. You're still like not much different than what you were after you first got saved. And in some cases, because of the spiritual battles you've had to fight, maybe you even feel weaker. Well, if you're one of those kinds of Christians, and I don't say it derogatorily, I mean literally, if you are one of those kinds of Christians, it may be that you are not rooted and grounded in some things. As Paul said here, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love." You may not be rooted and grounded in some things. And listen, it's not going to do you any good to say, "well, I've been saved a long time. I've been saved 15 years, or I've been saved 10 years, or I've been saved 5 years." It's not going to do you a lot of good to say that if your life really has not produced 5 or 10 or 15 years of growth. You know, you may want it to, and you may certainly want people to believe that it has, and you may so forth, but what's the use in that? What's the use in that? Why not just get honest with God and say, "okay, look, God, there really is a problem. I believe that I should have grown more than I've grown. I believe that I should be more fruitful than I am. And I really want to get to the root of the problem." Okay, good, good. Well, then that's what we're going to do today. Because your problem may be that you're not rooted and grounded in some things. First of all, you may not be rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that he says here, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts." Do you see that? that Christ may dwell in your hearts in Ephesians 3:17. And the truth of the matter is, what may happen is that you may have had, as one man put it, a head knowledge of salvation without having a heart conversion. In other words, the gospel is a reasonable gospel. The Bible says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Okay, so you reason with the Lord and you say, you know, that makes perfect sense to me. Christ died for my sins. Makes perfect sense to me. Christ has risen from the dead so that I can have eternal life. Makes perfect sense to me. I think I'm going to accept that deal. Yes, I confess that I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this little prayer. You know, Lord, save me. I called upon the name of the Lord, so yay, I'm saved. But there was no heart conversion. Well, for a variety of reasons, not the least of which, maybe no repentance, maybe no recognition of the depth of your sin and the need for the change. Nevertheless, it may very well be that you're not rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's flip over there together so you can see it. If you can't, obviously because you're driving, I'll take my time to quote the verse for you carefully so you know where we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Now Paul is getting ready to say some things about the judgment seat of Christ. And so he says in verse 11, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Listen, if your life, if your spiritual life is not founded upon Jesus Christ, then you have no spiritual life. You have church life, or you had an experience, or you had a religious something. You had a baptism, perhaps, a church membership, perhaps, faithful attendance, perhaps, won the Bible memory contest, I don't know. But those things are possible for a lost person to do. And you know that because there are too many lost people that have done it who then later got saved and confessed, I was doing all those things as a lost person. Why? Their life was not founded, was not rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus Christ is asking his disciples, whom do men say that I am? And they make a confession, you know, one of the prophets. Then he asked them, whom do you say that I am? And Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus answered him in verse 17 of Matthew 16, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then verse 18, the very famous verse from Matthew 16, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now the rock is not Peter. The rock is Jesus Christ, because Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There are just too many cross references, Deuteronomy chapter 32 being one of them, 1 Peter chapter 2 being another one of them, that Jesus Christ is the rock. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, another verse, another chapter dealing with Jesus Christ being the rock. And he says, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And surely, when the rock, Jesus Christ, was in hell for 3 nights and 3 days, the gates of hell did not prevail against him. He came out. So listen, if your foundation is not upon the rock of Jesus Christ, then you're not saved. And the reason that you're not, that your life hasn't changed, the reason there's no spiritual growth, the reason that there's no spiritual evidence, is very simple. It's very simple. You're not saved. You see, I'm just giving you verse after verse to drive the point home. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about us, those of us who are saved, and where we are in Christ. And the Bible talks about us being built upon, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20, Ephesians 2:20, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's Ephesians 2:20. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, Jesus Christ is the root. We're talking about being rooted and grounded. I'm talking about being grounded on the foundation, grounded on the rock, grounded on the chief cornerstone, rooted in the root and offspring of David. You know what your problem is, very simply? You have been performing, but you've not been saved. Do you understand that if you start going to church around some Christian people, then you can do the performance. You can do the Christian thing. You can give when the basket comes by. You can make a trip to the altar once in a while when some evangelist comes in, preaches hard, or whatever kind of an altar call your pastor might give. You can be there for the church functions. You can even be part of one of the ministries, maybe helping out in a Sunday school class or with one of the children's ministries or whatever. Lost people can do that. Now, I'm not one to talk a person who is saved out of his salvation so that he can get saved again and I can tell everybody how happy they ought to be that I led another soul to Jesus Christ. I don't have that kind of ambition, and I don't preach that kind of gospel. But I'm going to tell you something. I do recognize that there are people who think they're saved that are not saved, and I do preach that kind of gospel. If you're lost, you need to be saved. And it may very well be that your life shows no evidence of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ beyond your testimony, beyond your attendance at church, and your performance of those Christian-looking things, because you're not saved. You're not rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember now, Paul's prayer was that you would be rooted and grounded in love. All right? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So it may very be that Christ is not dwelling in your heart. And if that's the case, you need to get saved. All right? Here's another reason that your life may not give evidence of a change of salvation, of any growth spiritually. And that is that you are not rooted and grounded in the Word of God. In other words, you got saved. Okay, great. Fantastic. Praise the Lord. But you haven't been in the Bible. Now, that was my testimony for a period of time. If you don't get in that Bible and do what that Bible says and read that Bible and have spiritual food, you're not going to grow. You know, in other words, the Word was sown in your heart and came up, but there wasn't any root. In Mark chapter 4, and I realize there are all kinds of interpretations. We're not here about doctrinal interpretations of the passage. You get the idea when you read Mark chapter 4 that there's something wrong with one of the guys, and that is he heard the Word, and he received it with gladness. Okay, this is Mark chapter 4, verse 16. These are the ones that were sown on the stony ground, Mark 4, 16. They've heard the Word, immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. But afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the Word's sake, immediately they're offended. Now, I take that as a person that didn't get saved because they don't have the root and offspring of David. But as I apply it now, look at somebody who did get saved. Let's say that they did hear the Word, they did receive it, they did get saved, but then they never got rooted in the Word of God, and then when the affliction or persecution ariseth for the Word's sake, they're offended. They go away. That could very well be like you. The Word was sown in your heart, and you came up, but you didn't have any root, so you didn't last. And there's nothing of any spiritual testimony, spiritual growth, to indicate that you're saved today. Listen, if you're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, you're not going to grow. You can't. That's like taking a tree, and this seed comes up, and then you pull it out where you see the roots exposed, but there's no soil there. And you come back and you wonder, well, how come this tree is dying? The reason is that it's not rooting in. All right? Sometimes we've planted things and then you go in there, you water and water, and nothing happens. You dig it up and the root hasn't rooted in. Okay? Same thing. If you don't root into the Word of God, you're just not going to change. You're not going to grow. God's not going to provide fruitful evidence in your life of your salvation. Now what's happened to you is that because you have that, you know, virtually no root, you're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about this. He says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And I'm going to tell you, our professing Christianity, I say professing Christianity because there are some who say they're saved that are not saved, like we said in the first point. Professing Christianity, there are many, many professing Christians who are tossed to and fro. They're just like children, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They cannot see the deception. And consequently, if you're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, you're like a tumbleweed. Okay? You're just like a tumbleweed. And that's not going to work. that's just not going to work at all. You have this rolling, unstable faith, and you don't know whether you're a Presbyterian, a Methodist, a Charismatic, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, Catholic, Baptist. You don't know what you are. You don't know whether you're a Bible believer or what you are. You don't know where you stand. Rolling around. No roots, see? Tumbleweed. Back in Mark chapter 4, I'll tell you another thing about being rooted in the Word of God. You had a little root, but you came up in the thorns. Yeah, in Mark chapter 4, there are some that are sown among thorns. In Mark chapter 4, verse 18, and you know what gets them? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And that's also very likely. In other words, you started into the Word of God, came up in the thorns, and your cares of this life, your concern over your wealth and finances, your riches, your lusts of other things entering in, have caused all these weeds to come up, and now the moisture that is coming through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God is not reaching your roots because it's all being sucked up by the weeds around you. So there's no fruit, no fruitfulness. All right, now there may be another problem. It may very well be that you're not evidencing spiritual growth in your life, not bearing fruit in your life as a Christian because you're not rooted and grounded not only in the Lord Jesus Christ or the Word of God, but because you're not rooted and grounded in the church. You're not rooted and grounded in the church. You know, the fact that you're listening to me on the radio today is not an indication that you don't go to church, but you know there are a lot of people who listen on the radio that don't go to church. For one reason or another, it's like when we were out knocking on doors the other day and passing out Bibles, one of the ladies, I went back to a house where a man was very interested in knowing more about our church, received the Bible, was very glad for that, talked about how his son goes to church and was, very concerned that he wasn't taking his son to church, that somebody else in the neighborhood was taking him to church, and thought about coming to church. And so we hadn't seen him in 2 or 3 weeks since going by, so I made a return visit, and this time his wife answered the door. He wasn't there, a shift work. And so she came to the door and said, you know, I tried church a couple of times, but I just didn't find what I was looking for, so I don't go. Now, I thought about that kind of pressure that she would also put on her husband, and it's going to be very sketchy if he ever comes. And there that boy is going to grow up going to church without parental influence, and you know that's not going to hold. Let me tell you something. Not likely to hold anyway. Church, God has one for you. Okay? what the lady said? Okay, she tried it twice. It didn't work. There are a whole lot more churches in town than twice. Do you understand? I could find the same testimony that she had. I'm sure I could go to 50 churches in town and I wouldn't be happy in any of them. Why? That's not where I'm supposed to be. When you read in the Bible about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says one thing about him. When you get baptized by the body, by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, you know what the Lord does? The Bible says God hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. There's a place for you. There is a place for you. Now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. 1 Corinthians 12:18. God has a place for you. And I'll tell you what, a lot of people have found that place here at Bible Believers Baptist Church. I certainly have, and a number of other people have, and they're growing here because they got rooted and grounded in the church. I've had people say to me, well, I bless God, I can worship God in the deer lease, or I can worship God out in the pasture. I don't need to go to church. And a lot of people don't go to church. May I tell you something? You're not going to show the spiritual evidence of your salvation. You're not going to bear fruit, not well anyway, not, without being rooted and grounded in the church. You say, well, how can that possibly be? Because this, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, he said this, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, watch it, the pillar and ground of the truth. And we're talking about being rooted and grounded. You cannot be ground if you're not in the house of God, in the church of the living God, in the ground of the truth. Your foundation's going to be unstable, and if it is, you're not going to be able to bear much fruit without crushing the life out of you. So the Lord's not going to allow that to happen. Do you understand? Listen, in Ephesians chapter 2, when we talked about the household of God, all right, he's talking about the church. In verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 2, he calls us the household of God. Verse 20, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So God's doing something in the holy temple, and there is a slot for your brick, and you're not there. So the house is weakened as a result, and you are weakened as a result. You see, we are lively stones, according to Peter. We are lively stones. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, we are a spiritual house. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God by Jesus Christ. Now, Christ loved the church. And if you say, well, I don't like it, I'm not going to go there, then you don't love what Christ loves, and you and Christ are going to have a hard time getting along together if he loves something that you don't love. You say, well, what do I do about that? I'll tell you, it's very simple what you ought to do about that. Very simple. You know what you need to do? You need to get up off of your sofa or out of your bed on Sunday morning or out of from away from your table or away from your TV or away from your radio or whatever it is you do, and you need to get in your car and you need to start driving around town until God locates you in the church where he wants you to be, because he wants you somewhere. And when you get there, I'm going to tell you what will happen. You're going to get rooted and you're going to get grounded in that pillar and ground of the truth, and your life is going to reflect change. And until you do, it won't. Not completely. Now, tell you, listen, rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ, rooted and grounded in the Word of God, rooted and grounded in the church. Back to Ephesians chapter 3, our text. He says in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. You know why your life may not be reflecting spiritual growth, fruitfulness upward after a root goes downward? It may be that your problem is you are not rooted and grounded in love. That you're not rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. I mean, the Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may, that ye being rooted and grounded in love of whom? The love of Christ. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You say, well, I love Christ. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You may love Santa Claus. You may love something like an old high school buddy that you had, or a girlfriend that you had, or whatever the case is. I'm not talking about the ooey-ooey gushy feeling of a thought toward something that you don't spend any time with or can't spend any time with because it's not real. You are saved. Let's say that you're saved, that you have the first part of this worked out, that you are rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're saved. And to a certain extent that you're rooted and grounded in the Word of God. You know the Bible doctrines. And that you are rooted and grounded in church, that you're in church. But you're still not growing. Really, really, really a spiritual life. You know why? You haven't grown? Because you're not rooted and grounded in the love of God. You say you love him, but there's no walk, there's no fellowship. There's no development of that relationship. Jude said in Jude 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. In other words, your walk with God is non-existent. In other words, it's all just matter of fact. Okay, I got saved when I was 15, okay? Yes, I know about eternal security. Yes, I know about the virgin birth. Yes, I know about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I know about the return of the Lord at the rapture. Yes, I know about the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I know about his death, burial, and resurrection. See, you got it all wired, but you're not, you know, nothing's changing. And you have your church membership. You don't have a walk with God is the problem. That's right. You're just going through the motions. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, The Lord shows us something about separation, and you know, you got to get away from some things and you got to get to some things. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, the Bible says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you're the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And the problem is, you don't have a walk with God. You have virtually no fellowship with Christ. John wrote in his epistle about fellowship with Christ and fellowship with the Father, and he said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. But you don't have fellowship with Christ. Listen, you know one way that you can be sure about that? If you could sit down at a computer and get on Facebook and see the vile things that are there, and there's nothing inside of you that is causing you to sense some repulsion about all that worldliness, you have virtually no fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, there ought to be something in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that is so close that about the time your finger is going to squeeze that mouse, there's just something in you that just yucks out separation from that worldly, ungodly stuff you're about ready to get into. The love of Christ. Now listen, if you find yourself in any one of these cases, that is, you're not rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to get saved. You're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, then you need to get in it. You need to start reading it and loving it. You're not rooted and grounded in the church, then you need to get up on Sunday morning. You need to get in your car. You need to ask God for leadership. You need to get to the church, and you need to get into the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Or you're not rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, then you need to get on your face before the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to say, Lord, help me to get all the stuff out of my life that is keeping me from being able to love you and love you exclusively. When you do that, you know what's going to happen? Your life is going to begin to change. Will it change overnight? No, because it's a growth process like the planting of an oak tree. Slow and steady. But oh my, will it ever be wonderfully, wonderfully good, wonderfully abundant. Please take a look at your root. Please take a look at your grounding. Get grounded in these things and watch the Lord help you to grow. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.